Steve Buss, filling in for Digital Dave and Fast Eddie. And we're joined by Bill English. He's a senior safety advisor with National Transportation Safety Board. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Glad to be here.
Good. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about unmanned aerial vehicles.
Sure.
This morning. But before we get into that and the description of exactly what that is, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be with the NTSB.
Sure. Glad to, Steve. I'm right now in the Major Investigations Division at NTSB. I'm an investigator in charge. That means I'm basically the leader of the GO team. And I'm sure you've heard of that, seen that in movies, and it's just like that. We even have those windbreakers. So that's my day job. I lead a team that would investigate air carrier transport type of accidents, both in the U.S. and we do a lot of work overseas as well. So I've been there about 6 or 7 years as an investigator in charge. Mm-hmm. Was in the operational factors division before that, came to the board in 99. Formerly worked for the FAA, did investigations and quality assurance and procedures design with the FAA. Before that, active pilot, general aviation, corporate, and some electronics test bed flying before went to the FAA. So it's been a long road.
But interesting.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
All those experiences leading you to where you are today. Which is wonderful,
yeah.
and it's nice to know that there's pilots in FAA and NTSB that kind of understand both sides of the equation.
Absolutely,
yeah. Well, with unmanned aerial vehicles, we were talking about me included. My interpretation or definition of that is the military aerial, making a combat strike halfway around the world with someone, flying it from back here. But really, it's more than just that. And for you, you're not dealing with any of the military things. They're dealing with their own, although you obviously share information back and forth.
That's
but you're more concentrating on some of the newer applications that are happening right now, operations from the Customs Service, NASA, that's doing some research and kind of looking at where that will, where that's going and the commercial applications eventually, more commercial applications for unmanned vehicles.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve. Obviously, as you mentioned, the military applications have been the most numerous, the things that most people are aware of in the media, and that's true. That's where it's been for most of the history of unmanned aircraft, which actually have been around for a very long time. We'll talk some about the history of those as well later. Unmanned aircraft have been around almost as long as aircraft have been around.
Sure.
We can see some dating back around the World War I time frame, aerial targets and used for surveillance, things like that. But jumping forward to around the present day, in the last few years, there's been a lot more applications with unmanned aircraft as the technology's matured here in the States in the non-military aspect. And you're absolutely right. The NTSB Investigation Authority is just civilian. That's for conventional manned aircraft or unmanned. It counts the same. But there is now more and more applications happening here, both by government agencies like CBP, who's right here sharing a booth with us at Air Venture, and NASA, police departments, and so on, as government agencies are using them. And with some moves now afoot by the FAA and even some congressional language to start opening up more and more of the airspace for civil commercial use of unmanned aircraft, we're trying to get ahead of that, make sure we at the board know the technology, know what's going on as this emerges into the airspace, so we're ready if and when accidents occur to do our job, help make things safer.
So at this point, you're really trying to be out in front of the widespread application of unmanned vehicles. Has there been much to investigate so far?
Well, not a lot, because like you say, we want to be out in front.
Right.
We don't want to have to play catch up, especially with such high technology things that are changing. Mm-hmm. There have been a few. One of the things that really got us moving in this was about, 6 years ago, I think it was, 2006, Customs Border Protection Predator vehicle, which I think a lot of people are familiar with, mm-hmm. Had an accident in Arizona, and that opened up a lot of awareness and issues to the civilian use. So we really got going back then, and there's been some minor things now and then that we, we keep our fingers in. And like you mentioned, we spend a lot of time sharing information with our military counterparts to keep ahead of that. So there have been a few. Fortunately, nobody's been hurt yet, which helps when there's nobody on the aircraft.
Correct.
But nobody on the ground either. The sky hasn't started falling, so you know, people shouldn't be worrying there right now. But we're making sure that as we do investigations, just like we do with manned aircraft, mm-hmm. we're keeping an eye out for any safety issues that might arise.
Are you working with FAA as far as, you know, airspace considerations and the mixing of conventional air traffic with the unmanned?
Well, clearly that's one of the main issues, okay. right? With nobody on board, yeah. nobody can see and avoid. Nobody right. can see outside. And there's a lot of technology out there now, a lot of electronic aids, various things like radars and other types of sensors, heat sensors, infrared, things like that. And we do keep very close touch with the FAA. In fact, in my office in D.C. is one floor up from the FAA unmanned aircraft office. Okay. So we're together with those guys all the time, keeping an eye on how they're working, where their regulatory and certification actions are going, while staying aloof like we're supposed to as an independent accident agency, just like with the conventional airplanes.
Great. You mentioned a little bit about the history of unmanned vehicles, yeah. going back to World War One.
Exactly.
How has... I mean, obviously, technology has really created a boom, but
right.
there have been radio-controlled, as I think it was called in World War II,
right.
Aircraft for
right.
quite a while.
Yeah. Part of the boom is in the this new, we might say, computerized or miniaturized electronics age. Back in, you know, in the World War I, World War II era, the earlier days of flying, the unmanned aircraft were used for military applications, mostly targets, mm-hmm. right? They make good targets, fly them around, practice shooting at them, nobody gets hurt.
Okay.
And, of course, some of the famous applications, I think, you know, we've got a lot of folks here aware of World War II technology. Really, the V-1 buzz bomb was mm-hmm. an unmanned aircraft.
Yeah.
But in recent years, the real boom has come with what you can put on them and how small we can make them. Mm-hmm. The cameras and the other sensors that can go on these have really pushed the development and the desire to do this. And I think that's where the civilian world, the commercial world, would like to see these applications. And a lot of things, they call it the dull, dirty, or dangerous job.
Sure.
Right? You're flying around and around and around looking at something.
Right.
Very boring for people. Mm-hmm. And we know that's a safety hazard. People get bored. They get distracted. The drone doesn't care.
Right.
It flies around and around in circles and looks at whatever needs to get looked at for a nice long time.
Yeah. And as we were talking before, obviously, like pipeline applications,
yeah.
where you're down low, you've got a long mission, you're concentrating more on the ground than you are necessarily on flying. Those are the kind of applications where you could definitely see, you know, a commercial vein for an unmanned vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. And all kinds of different platforms. You know, we talked earlier about saying unmanned aircraft is almost as broad as saying aircraft.
Right.
We're sitting right here. We can see a C-5. We can see some T-6s. We can see some ultralights. Well, they're all aircraft. Same with unmanned aircraft. Everything from what you see on the TV, the great big Global Hawks, the mm-hmm. bigger Predators, there are unmanned blimps, unmanned rotorcraft, things that launch off of a bungee rail and they're captured in a net. All types of applications, because when you don't have to put the person in the vehicle, they can come up with all kinds of different ways to do this. And we've got to keep up on that. There's
sure.
some technology that this is not looking like a regular airplane.
Exactly. Well, we're glad that you are looking at the technology and a wide variety of things. I suppose yeah. that keeps your job interesting.
It definitely does. Yeah. All this, the new stuff, we are just running as fast as we can to keep up.
Well, Bill, thank you for joining us. And if folks want to find out more about the NTSB and or to meet you.
You can always find us on the web, www.ntsb.gov.
Okay.
Sign up for our Twitter feeds, all kinds of good stuff there.
Sounds good. Bill, thanks again for joining us. You're listening to EIA Radio.